Yeah, good morning once again, ladies and gentlemen. Kalimera sa sagapitia krotesko kroatrias post Thanksgiving, Tuesday, November 29th, 11 o'clock in the morning, translates to Manny Frangidakis and a market update along with Stamati Sastras. Good morning, gentlemen. Kalimera sa, trusting you both had a fabulous Thanksgiving.
Kalimera, Terry. Kalimera, Stamati.
Kalimera, Kalimera. In case, Teddy, you're on the edge of your seat, Senegal is beating Ecuador at halftime.
Oh, wow. Go Senegal. Go USA, 2 o'clock. That's what I have to say.
Yeah. I know.
Manny, yesterday was a kind of a big day. Today it looks like it's a little bit calmer, but if you can explain to our listening audience a couple of news in China and the Federal Reserve and why we had a drop of about 1.5%.
Yeah, so it's recessionary fears, and in particular, it was the protest that took place in China and different regions of the country regarding Xi Jinping's zero COVID policy and the draconian measures that the people of China have been dealing with for 3 years. So for most of this year, people have been speculating on when China does finally reopen, from the standpoint that goods will be able to move more freely throughout the global economy, as well as stimulate growth in different parts of the world. And it seems like we are a little bit further away from that than we were a few months ago, just given the actions that took place over the weekend there and Xi's response. Now, you're getting a little bit of a bounce here. I wouldn't even say anything meaningful. The S&P is sitting here up like 5 points. So, yeah, it's a bounce, but it's not really a bounce. I do believe we'll continue to say it's not a drop. It's not another drop, and we don't really see anything really amplifying here. There were some remarks coming out of the Communist Party last night, which was more beneficial, which allowed more of a risk-on tone, and you saw the dollar somewhat drop. You saw markets in Asia bounce, and you even saw crypto and other things catch a rally after sliding even yesterday. So. That was the main reason for yesterday's drop. And potentially, if China doesn't reopen, does that amplify the potential of recession, given the amount of growth that China has provided to the global economy for the past 20 years? So that's what really led to yesterday's drop. And it remains something that needs to be watched, but it's also something that we cannot control. So we do believe that China will reopen at some point. We just don't know at what point does their economy come back to full steam, because they're still dealing with a pretty pretty tricky real estate problem over there, and the Central Bank of China is continuing to ease and provide liquidity there to make it a manageable issue, but they do have their own domestic policies that they're currently facing.
And do you see that a lot of times we have seen protests in China, and then, within days or weeks, it's just gone. I mean, you don't hear anything. I mean, is anything different here? Or do you think there's going to be a situation where,
there's certainly implications. For example, with Apple in particular, Apple makes most of their product out of China, in particular Foxconn, which is one of their largest suppliers, has been dealing with shifts being shut down, with their employees not being able to return to work. And, for example, this morning they came out and said that consumers here can expect 34 to 35 delays in an iPhone. So there will be implications here, and that's what the market's trying to uncover is, for our multinational companies that still continue to do a significant amount of production in China, what does that mean to their potential growth rates, and what does that mean to their earnings per share guidance as it relates to 2023.
Now you mentioned Apple. I have to shift the topic and ask you about Elon Musk's. I'm sure you saw the news.
Yeah, Elon Musk tweeted aggressively at them last night.
I mean, is this knee-jerk reaction? Is there a strategy behind what he's doing? Obviously the future will tell us if he's right or wrong, but from a high visible business leader, doing those things, What's your comment?
Maybe we should tell
the audience first what happened then.
Yeah, so he went through a spree of angry tweets last night and went after Apple and told them that they don't respect free speech. And I think it was mostly due to them pulling ad spending from Twitter. And he threatened to take Twitter off of the iPhone App Store. And he even alluded at, is this a personal war against me? And, you know, alluded to the fact, could Tesla Incorporated be the next company that Apple attacks? So I think it was more of an aggressive standpoint from his play. From a business perspective, I can't imagine how removing your application from the largest smartphone provider database helps your core business. Because, I mean, I utilize Twitter, and I utilize Twitter on my phone. I don't log into my MacBook or my computer and pull up Twitter on a web browser.
Right.
So I don't know how that technically really helps his business. But again, it just this happened last night. He's kind of been going on a tweet storm. He's kind of, you know, putting crosshairs on different institutions and individuals as it relates to Twitter and how he's navigating his new private business. So it's something to watch, but I don't think it's anything market moving or anything that has implications for investors.
Yeah, I mean, we have to know that, you know, when Apple changed their policy about privacy, Facebook did take a tumble on earnings, and it was a very negative aspect about Facebook. So you can say that, you know, he's probably looking ahead and he wants to be very aggressive, so he won't get on. He won't get the negative spiral that Facebook had after Apple changed their policy.
Of course, and that's, I think, where it all stems from, is the fact that Apple looks to be pulling away from ad spending on Twitter. And I think that's what he took personal, and that's why he's deciding to, you know, negatively tweet towards them and protect his bottom line. Because don't forget, Elon is very aware that he has a cult following. So if his people believe that he is the righteous crusader, they will go on a war with him against Apple. And that seems to be his strategy.
I love that term, righteous crusader. I could name about a half dozen of those guys in this country.
So, but, you know, as it relates to where we're going here, continue to think we're range-bound. I think you're looking at a low in the S&P around 3,700, the high in 4,100. So here you are at 3,977, kind of in no man's land. I think that remains true through the end of the year. You know, in 2 weeks, we're going to be seeing some really important stuff. So on December 13th, you're going to get CPI again, which gave you the rally that you just experienced at the end of last month due to a great CPI print in November. Meaning lower and cooler inflation. You're going to get another CPI report on December 13th, as well as a Fed meeting on December 13th with a press conference on December 14th. So all expectations are for a 50 basis point hike. That is pretty much, you know, priced into the market. The key question is going to be is how transparent are they in terms of their guidance for 2023? And that's where Wall Street differs. Some people believe that we're going to get 3 to 4 25 basis point rate hikes in 2023. Others expect maybe 125 basis point rate hike and potentially a pause. So that is really what the market is trying to decipher. And that's going to be the biggest implication to how the stock market starts off in 2023 and how it ends in 2022.
Yeah. Manny, I'm curious in your opinion, as we exit 22 and enter 2023, are there any companies that stand out that are really in a good position due to just everything, you know, today's conditions? Is there anybody who's really positioned to have a great year?
I mean, I think there's still a lot of questions around the economy and kind of where we're headed. Right now, labor seems to be staying very tight, but I did read an article this morning that talked about companies hoarding not only goods and services, but labor. Just so they're not caught off guard again. Does that potentially change? And that could be both deflationary and inflationary. But from a company perspective, I think it really depends on where you see the puck going and what you think under what's going to outperform. In my opinion, I think it's going to be your industrials. I think it's going to be your energy sector. Now, the energy sector has had quite the rally. I wouldn't be jumping in right now, but on a potential pullback, I think that the energy stocks continue to do well. And anything with a hard asset, anything with commodity driven, I think that's what's really going to do well over the next coming years. I think you can see a potential bounce in tech. We'll see. They're about to go through earnings again. So we'll see what those potentially look like. But I do think it's going to be your boring type of industrial consumer staples that do well, that did well, similar to the, you know, the following of 2000, 2008, 2009. As we had higher interest rates and lower growth, just going to be very hard for these high-tech and high-cap growth names to be able to really get a significant bounce and create appreciation.
I heard this morning on the way in on WBZ's business report that the automobile industry, it's still, you know, the price of the used cars is down. Used car prices were peaking. They're down 18%. I heard something about that. But that the demand for the new car is still, you know, it's still close to manufacturer-suggested retail, whereas usually, you know, the unwritten rule was 10 to 15% below and negotiate from there.
I don't think the autos do well. I think they're priced to perfection. I think that they end up getting lower earnings than are expected in 2023, and I have no interest in owning any of that sector.
Interesting.
I think that the used car market will continue to go. So, yes, used cars are down 18%, but new cars are actually up year over year on a dollar term. So I think that they're going to struggle as it relates to earnings, especially given the amount of supply we saw get pulled forward during COVID.
Very interesting.
The one thing that, you know, and, you know, we're not supposed to be giving advice on this and whatnot, because I do have compliance, you know, making sure that we don't. The one thing that, you know, potentially is somewhat of a good opportunity here is Google, because they're one of the last tech companies that hasn't started laying off people. And if you look at Google's revenue, yes, it's had stellar growth the last 2 years, but they've doubled their employee headcount. I don't think they need to be hiring as many people. And I think that's what potentially is the story behind tech, is that they got so big so fast, they grew so quickly over a 10-year period, that they just kept hiring and hiring and hiring because they had all this free cost of capital. As that changes, I do think that they are able to cut back on expenses and costs and keep profits growing. So the market hasn't really sniffed out the fact that Google potentially is the next company to do layoffs. If that occurs, I would imagine the stock appreciates.
Interesting. Interesting. Okay. Interesting. Manny, any closing comments? Stamati?
What's going to happen with the Pats and the Bills?
Ooh, good question. I mean, it's, you know, Von Miller being out is a huge focal point, but, you know, we looked pretty bad last week.
The defense, poor.
I know, the defense is great. I mean, the defense is top three in the league. It's our offense which is the major question. And again, I don't know if it's personnel or if it's play calling. It seems to be going both ways, and they still haven't been able to figure it out. So we were a playoff team last week. We're now first one in. We're on the bubble. So we'll see. I mean, if you lose to Buffalo, I can't imagine how you potentially make it to the playoffs. I think every game from here on out, their season's on the line, and even if they do make it to the playoffs, they're probably getting bounced in the wild card, if not the divisional round. So I don't think this is a team that's going to be able to go the distance, unfortunately. But hopefully at least put some good building blocks together to add on next season. But
what a politically correct way of saying that they don't have the guns in the arsenal. That's awesome, Manny. That's awesome.
Yeah. So, I mean, let's see. I mean, Buffalo's a good team. It's going to be a really challenging game. We do have it at home. It's a Thursday night. Buffalo's coming off a short week. We have a little bit more rest. But, again, you can't really knock Bill Belichick. He always kind of figures out a way to keep the game close and to take away their biggest weapon. But they have a lot of weapons.
Manny, as always, thank you.
And then the U.S. win?
Yeah, USA Today, USA, give us a prediction on that, Manny.
I don't know. I was having a conversation with a friend of mine the other day who is much more knowledgeable as it relates to international soccer than I am, and he thinks that Iran has got one of the top strikers in the tournament, and they have a very strong team, and it's looking like a very tough matchup. Unfortunately, they should have beat the United Kingdom, and I didn't like the fact that they called it a tie. I mean, called a win a tie, or the tie a win. I mean, I thought that they should have won that game, and they had a chance at the end, and probably a bad play call or positioning. But I think it's going to be tough to get out of this group stage, but we'll see at 2 o'clock.
I guess so. Manny Frangidakis, Tamati Sastra, thank you. Each and every Tuesday at 11 o'clock, we get a market update from 12 Points Wealth Management, Manny Frangidakis. Gentlemen, have a wonderful afternoon. Enjoy the match, and we'll regroup 1 week from today. Yes, us.